Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's Helen, Ronnie, and Pieces.
A therapeutic jigsaw.
Where we get famous guests.
Discussing how they deal with stress.
I've only got 10 seconds of music, we'll just beat up.
It's all about relaxing and chilling.
Oh, no, you're going to go over now.
So not winding each other up.
Oh, it's a little late for that.
Go on, quit. Hello, welcome to another episode of Hal and Ronnie in Pieces.
Hello.
The show where we do a jigsaw with a friend also in showbiz, and we do a jigsaw to calm ourselves, to learn about how to be calmer people.
That's right, because we're seeking a way to live more calmly, more quietly, banish those inner voices that tells us that we're rubbish. So if you are someone who's anxious, insecure, or just exceptionally unpopular, we're your people.
Exactly.
Yay.
We're here for you, losers.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
So we are this week talking to, I think, one of the icons of the 90s, who I was quite scared to meet,
so
and
cool.
Who turned out to be so lovely.
Yeah, you were very sweaty, weren't you, initially when you first met her? Because she's the sort of person that basically you would pray for her to speak to you at school.
Yes.
You know, you wouldn't even mind if she nicked your sandwiches and kicked you in the shins because she would have paid you some attention. That's how cool she is.
Yes, I think you're slightly overdoing how unpopular I was at school. I have some lovely memories, sometimes some nightmares. I wake up screaming. Anyway, but yoga. Sadie is someone
she's
who's literally
a
lived
teacher.
A life where she has been practicing calmness. What's the word?
Serenity.
Serenity, yeah.
Meditation, she does. But the thing is, Hal, I know you were very enthusiastic about yoga in it, but I just cannot imagine you doing yoga. And I know that yoga's supposed to be very unjudgmental, but I can't get rid of that image of your grey gym shorts that you showed me on that picture. And I can't...
Well, that's your opinion. I think the grey gym shorts are iconic. And wearing leggings underneath would keep it safe in a yoga environment.
I also think it's very hard for you because you really do need to rid yourself of ego in order to progress with yoga. And you, I don't know how you'd be able to get to that stage in order to initially...
that's lovely. Well, that's fascinating that you're taking that in this direction. Anyway, we have a new producer.
Yes, we have a new producer, yes. Following tradition. Fantastic new producer. And this time I'm very hopeful of this, Hal, because she's got a little bit more gravitas, a bit more experience.
Exactly. And yeah. I don't really know why she's working for us.
How did we get her if she's got so much experience?
To be honest, times are very hard in this industry and people do have to take whatever work comes their way. So very welcome, Amanda.
Hello, Amanda. And talking about
calmness, Ronnie, sorry, we were talking about this. Have you ever used the Calm app?
Yes, I have, Hal.
Yeah, well, I think it's an excellent way to relax. It has daily meditations, sleep stories, 30-minute nap stories when you need to recharge during the day.
Whoa, what are you doing? They're not sponsoring us. Would you stop doing this?
The thing is, Amanda, one day, surely it's going to work. If we do big up certain products, they might end up sponsoring us. It's a really giving, loving way to try and attract sponsorship to the show.
But we are all about calmness. And if you're talking about them, all you're doing is promoting our opposition.
That is actually quite a good point, Hal. Because can I just say, the relaxation and calming industry, it's dog-eat-dog world. In fact, it's a downward dog-eat-downward dog world. Do you see what I did?
Brilliant. Okay. Yeah, Calm app, rubbish, never
rubbish.
Use it.
Hate
don't
it.
Want it. Yeah.
Stressful even talking about it.
It really is. But yeah. No, but let's get back to calmness. And I'll tell you how we'll do that by listening to the very relaxing, very soothing, very wonderful
Sadie Frost.
It's
very, very, very exciting because we've got one of my coolest friends here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got cool friends. Yeah. She's an icon, actually.
Yes.
You're an icon. You are an icon.
Yes, I'm not.
You are. You're an icon, model, actress.
Not a model.
Well, you were okay, a model. She was a model. She still looks like a model. An actress, a director, a producer, a proper qualified yoga teacher, not just a yoga bunny who says, oh, I could teach my friend, a proper one.
Yeah.
Look and weep, how?
Well, we're going to get on to that later on, but we have to get through the important first question, which is what background would you like?
So we've got the sea, chorus.
It's only two.
I think I'll have the forest.
It is just a nice view, yeah, isn't it? But it always makes me think I don't want to walk up that mountain. Mm-hmm. So is that just me obsessing?
I do like a bit of walking, but I'm not a beach person. I don't like being exposed to the sun.
Oh, really?
I don't like the sun. I am like a witch in that sense. And I don't want my skin to be in the sun.
You're like me. And also I hang upside down at night sleeping. I come out only on certain hours, yeah, as well. So I'm totally with you. Now, you've just recently directed the documentary Twiggy, which I was slightly involved in a small capacity, and that's where we got to know each other more. Mm-hmm. Do you regret that? Not the documentary, but meeting me. That was getting to know me better.
I answer that question as well. Yes, I regret meeting you and working with you. Sorry.
I like the fact that it took a long time, you know, because we've been working the same place for 3 years and it's been a slow burn, hasn't it? Like we would see each other across the room and we would wave at each other and, you know, I kind of don't rush into friendships and relationships in it. I mean, that's, they'll stand the test of time. So
are you saying, Sadie, in your own inimitable way, that it's better if I'm sort of diffused, if you know what I mean, in small doses?
No, you're saying that, not me. But I'm glad to be your friend and you've been very helpful in lots of ways. You've tried to introduce me to potential boyfriends and potential investors and lots of different things.
Yeah, you see? Do you hear that?
I'm useful. In small doses, though.
Yeah, maybe small doses. Maybe I agree with you.
I think. Sorry.
Listen, I've got to say this because I do think it is true. Because we met and we became friends. I like to think we became friends. Maybe I'm an embryonic friend, but you did define an era. You did, really, didn't you? In the 90s. And is it easy to be objective about that? Because at the time, you're right in the eye of it. So you can't really tell, can you?
Yeah.
It's like you can only tell the experience when you're looking back. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. When I was there, or was, you know, at some of it, you know, I was in my 20s and 30s, I was still quite naive and things were just happening to me. And, you know, you're making life decisions with your career and your partners and your work. It was a big time where a lot of people's careers went pretty big. And then it was this bubble. There was a lot of pressure, a lot of heat on it. And then the bubble burst and everyone kind of fell apart. And then you spend your next few years trying to get your life back together and put it back together and also have children. So now it's crazy when you say the 90s was 30 years ago. Mm. And me working in documentaries, the amount of interest about the 90s, I mean, it's a very definitive time. People are so interested in it. And I mean, even though it was a difficult time in some ways, exciting, but difficult, I'm so glad that I was around at that time.
I just feel that's the interesting thing of going, you were part of it. Because it's like the way my parents talked about the 60s, as if going, oh, we didn't really have that great a time. And that's what I feel about the 90s. I missed out. Mm. I never went to a rave.
No, this
I never
is
did any
tragic.
Of I never went to the Hacienda. I never did any of these things.
I never
things
did the things that you were supposed
you
to be doing
were
in the 90s.
Doing those things. So it is amazing to be part
there
of
that.
There
was a lot of amazing, you know, lovely friends. So actors just leaving drama school and then they suddenly became Ewan McGregor or, you know, Johnny Lee Miller. And there was this kind of, we had Natural Nylon.
That was the kind of Primrose Hill set, wasn't
it? It was a Primrose Hill set and we were just a bunch of kind of young people who was having a good time and you were allowed to have a good time then. You know, you're not allowed to have a good time now. And I think it's fine to have a good time at that time of your life, but then you have to kind of grow up and be serious. But it was a lot of fun.
And Hal, you're part of the Enfield set.
Oh, yes, very much the Enfield. We still are. We dog walk together.
What was your definition of cool then at that point?
My Enfield set is where I live now. I was part of the Ealing set. I've always been a suburban man who likes a drink in the pub. Do you know, when you were mentioning Johnny Lee Miller there, I suddenly remembered I was a child actor with Johnny Lee Miller. He played my younger brother in an ITV thing. I think it was 1983. He was like 11 and I was 13. My sister was in it as well. And he was such a cute little kid. I liked him so much until he got very successful. And I went, that cute little kid's become a star. So I got jealous.
So he was a child actor because he went to that theatre school that they all went to?
I didn't go to theatre school. I was just, that's why I gave it up.
Yeah.
I stupidly retired at 13 and then had to get back into it being at drama school.
No, but you did go to drama school later.
I went, by the way, you went to Italia Conti.
I went to Italia Conti, I did.
Which is, this is absolutely true. I'm doing all my name dropping at the start of this interview. My grandmother went to Italia Conti when Italia Conti taught there. That's in the 20s and 30s with Charles Hawtrey from Carry On. Yeah. I was suddenly thinking this because she was told by her dad, who was like a fruit and veg guy in Covent Garden, that she wasn't allowed to be a performer. I was suddenly thinking about that choice when you choose to go into showbiz and all the stress that that brings. Do you ever regret it? Do you ever look back and go, would it have been a quieter life or would I always have been stressed?
I mean, the thing was, I had loved performing from being a kid, and my mum used to work in a pub and my dad was, you know, an artist and they were hippies. And to get attention, I had to get on the table and sing and dance. So I was a child actor, and that was how I got my attention. And then when I was at school, at primary school, I got a scholarship to go to Italia Conti. I didn't. So Inner London Council gave 2 a year, and I got one of those scholarships. And I think it would have been more stress if I hadn't have gone to that school, because the school I would have gone to, most of my friends ended up being kind of, I don't know, they had tough lives. A lot of them ended up, they're not here anymore. They went to Borstal, and it was a rough kind of, you know, for the group I was in. So I got to stage school. I had elocution lessons. I kind of reinvented myself. I wasn't a naughty little kid anymore, stealing from Woolworths and all that kind of stuff.
Would you have talked to someone like Hal at school?
Of course.
Would you?
I was a sweet
I think this
boy.
Is a great opportunity for Hal, because you're talking to somebody who wouldn't really have.
I'm just not judgmental. I'm friends with everybody. I'm not. I'm never.
Oh, are you?
Yes. Sorry.
But I work really hard at being your... I just lost my exclusive bubble.
It takes a while, but I like all different people. And I like animals and kids more than grown-ups.
Ronnie's so like a child. I think that's why she's very attractive as a friend to people. Mm.
Can I just point out that because you were supposed to do this bit for this podcast, you were supposed to bring up the jigsaw. You haven't talked about the theme of the podcast.
I'm just throwing
what
you
the idea of
there.
The podcast. And can I just say, he's very bitter and twisted about this because he's sabotaged a lot of the stuff I've already done on this jigsaw
puzzle.
He undoes it. Then he says he did a bit with all the edging and everything, and he hasn't. Then he accused me of turning around the jigsaw. So it's absolutely
It was
ridiculous.
Around. I basically did a lot of the stuff that's on that side.
It's a horrible picture of us.
I think that's a lovely picture.
Ronnie, I know you think it's a horrible picture of you, but that's you looking good.
Oh, my God.
Very Ronnie face.
It's a Ronnie face. It's a ridiculous jigsaw that we've chosen to do. Do you like jigsaws?
No, I hate jigsaws, but I like
fiddling. It's a constant fact that all of our guests have not just not liked jigsaws,
they've hated them.
Taken a quite specific aversion to them.
Spending an hour doing one with us particularly.
But who's got the time to do a jigsaw? I mean, I've got no patience. That's my worst quality, is having any patience to do anything.
But we thought this was going to be therapeutic.
It is therapeutic touching.
Not the touching. We thought that it would be good for restless brains to just focus in on doing something.
But where do you
start? Then I realised that someone like Hal... just not capable. Are you of that, really, of focusing?
I think it's the slow. I think it's very exciting because it's a slow achievement.
Mm.
It's about taking time to achieve things, Ronnie, and not immediate satisfaction.
Yeah, no, but we're both ADHD. There's no way we can.
You're going to say that in public. That's great. No. I was.
Ronnie's the most ADHD person there's ever been. They almost invented it for her.
Rory Bremner, he's a friend of mine. Mm. He did a documentary about ADHD and he spent ages on it. And we were doing a radio record, and just as the red light was going on, he just said, Ronnie, he said, I've been thinking about you. And I said, oh yeah. He said, you know that documentary I did about ADHD? And I went, yeah. And I talked to the people with the worst ADHD in the world. I went, yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. He said, well, I know someone's got far worse ADHD than anyone I talked to. And I went, who? And he went, well, you. Just before we're doing this radio record, I was quite...
And do you take your ADHD medication?
Oh, we're doing this now?
I just wondered, because I wondered if you could take it.
I thought you wanted some.
I would take some as well.
He needs to take some.
Because I can't be bothered.
But at least I'm not deluded. He doesn't think he needs anything.
Mm.
So do you feel, because when you're younger and you don't really notice these things, and you were right in the eye of a storm, but did you find it stressful being the uber cool person? And did you feel it was reflective of you, that was representative of who you were?
I never felt cool. I always felt like a very uncool person. And I remember when I did the Pulp video, and actually a lot of my friends were musicians, and my friends would be in that scene, and suddenly I was hanging out with those people and the Britpop days, and I felt really uncool. And when I did the Pulp video, I just couldn't even walk when I was pushing Jarvis in that trolley. I was so nervous. So I never felt cool. My mum always laughs because I was always somebody that has my cardigan on inside out and something upside down and always fall over. And so I might have looked okay or cool, but actually I've always been kind of a bit silly.
But do you know what that means to people like us, seeing you with your cardi inside out? We go, it's okay to have our cardi. Inadvertently, you've done a great service.
But maybe it's that thing of, you know, you're not trying that hard in a way. Because I was about to point out that Ronnie did study at St. Martin's College, could have been.
I look a bit weak.
That song could have been written for you and you still failed to get it, Ronnie.
I know. And I was around in the 90s.
And you were around in the 90s.
But I was just impersonating icons. That's the difference.
Yeah.
I didn't really ever care, to tell you the truth. When people, even now, they say, really sorry, your cardigan's inside out, you know, because it happens every day.
Well, I think everybody looks back. They all wanted to be part of that group.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. You were part of it. And it's whether people's, you know what I mean?
It might have looked cool, but we were just doing normal things, going and buying a pint of milk and cooking dinner and having kids and, a few parties here and there. But there was nothing that we were doing differently to anyone else.
It just looked
different, maybe, because it was being photographed.
Sterling, we really want to talk about your yoga because you are a yoga teacher. Do you really use that for stress?
So I started doing yoga when I had really bad asthma as a kid, and my mum got me to do yoga because if you can learn how to breathe properly, because it isn't just about we all talk about the physical asanas, and especially now with Instagram and influencers, but it is the kind of everything. It's the breathing, it's the meditation, it's the kriyas, it's living the whole life, and it's the eight limbs of yoga. And I started studying it from a kid, and then all through my 20s, 30s, it's just been with me for a long, long time. I did teach training Kundalini before, and then I've been practicing Jivamukti, which is type of yoga, for about 15 years. Done two teach trainings in Jivamukti, and I'm going to do another one. I have to keep going back to learn because I'm a
very slow
learner.
You're amazing. I've seen what she can do. She can balance on her pinky. I have a horrible feeling that we're too stressed to do.
Start a little bit, do a bit every day. It's your self-practice. You're doing your breathing. You're doing your meditation. I teach in the local community centre for people that don't have the money to maybe do a class. And teaching is the best thing. It makes me feel really connected. And, you know, rather than practicing it, I get more from actually teaching. And I'm teaching tomorrow. Sorry, today I was working out my playlist. I was working out all the kind of the emphasis on what I want to say, you know, whether I'm trying to get people to connect themselves to the earth, the universe. And just that kind of, you know, we're living in difficult times where it's hard to feel properly connected to something. So I try to teach something that gives people a practice that does.
That's so brilliant. I just want to mark this moment as actually the first time in this podcast where we've had proper advice on dealing with stress rather than us. Because actually things like this are, should we talk more after the break? Because I want to talk more about yoga.
Jonathan Watts here, and on my new podcast, I'm reminiscing and reuniting the coolest, sassiest, most fabulous female icons of the 1990s. We're talking Sadie Frost, Liz Hurley, Meg Matthews, and Patsy Kensit. It's like a Camden after party in audio form. Even Wally Ancona is coming, but she'll just be there to do impressions of those who don't turn up, obviously.
I'm Rod Gilbert, and in my new podcast, Stretching the Truth, I'll be discussing no-chill yoga, the first yoga practice designed for neurotic people who can't relax. Because not all of us can breathe in serenity and exhale sunshine. Sometimes you're breathing in anxiety and exhaling existential dread. No-chill yoga blends intentional movement, guided frustration, nervous laughter breathing, and affirmations that don't pretend that everything's okay. Inhaling resentment, but exhale self-doubt and sarcastic snorts.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The thing is, because I do think as well, I'm really intimidated by yoga. I did Pilates once, but also I have loads of issues. I have dodgy joints. And I remember being in this Pilates class. It was two men and loads of women. And she said, anybody got any issues? And it was both of us men went and had to go, I've got a dodgy knee and dodgy shoulder. Because I've been told by loads of people that yoga's brilliant. But I suppose as a teacher, you would be aware. Do you have brand new people come along?
Yeah.
And you're aware that they're going, I might be embarrassingly not very flexible. So even in an environment where you are being open and wonderful, is there still quite hard to get rid of that feeling of competitiveness of going, I'm rubbish at this compared to everybody else?
Well, I like teaching beginners and I'm not doing a class that's going to intimidate people. And I just want, so I do a very gentle, welcoming class at first. And it's a slow progress. I've been doing it for a long time. But then I've seen friends of mine that started a year ago and they, if you commit to it, even if it's once, twice, three times a week, and you'll really see a benefit and it changes people's lives and you see huge transformations. And yeah, it can be intimidating, but you have to realize it's all about getting rid of your ego. Like if you have an ego that's it's all about like how you look, what you can do, oh, I can't touch my toes or I can't do this or I can't do that, then it's not going to work because the whole point is to let go of all of that stuff. And if you do commit to it, you know, you'll make a change in your life that might be something that could be a year away, 3 years away. I mean, I'm doing a bit of swimming now because if you have a problem with your knee and things like that, you know, I'll go swimming even before I do a yoga class so that my joints are all warmed up and, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll come to one of my classes and, you know.
How long would it take Hal to stand on his head? How long?
Why do I have to do the really hard things?
No, I'm just saying, because you have totally got the right attitude about it. So you do have the right attitude. But some people are intimidated because the yoga bunnies, you know. I remember being in this class and this little older lady came in and she'd never been and she'd heard that yoga was really kind of relaxed. And she was sort of made to fit. You know, there was just this kind of air and with these women who were proper yoga bunnies and the teacher. And I got really annoyed because I thought you're absolutely dissing what the whole premise of yoga is.
Got to find the right place to go, you know, the right studios. Come to my class. Oh, Love Supreme is a good class. You know, they have some great classes there. But come to my class, you two. And,
do a live podcast.
I might let you be a proper friend if you come and do yoga.
Yeah.
Oh, but remember, Ronnie, he's thrown the gauntlet
But
down.
Do you remember what Sadie said? It's about getting rid of the ego. I don't know if that's possible for you.
I have been to Love Supreme a couple of times, although the lovely yoga teacher did come and try and put me in the right position. And I had to say, it's not going to go there. But no, I love yoga, but I wish I could do. I mean, I wish you see some people. She can float.
I can do a headstand. I can't hop. But everybody has something that they're good at. You know, you might be good at one thing. You could be good at something else. You know, and I'm not competing with anybody. What's the point? You only have an injury if you do that.
Okay.
Do you meditate?
I meditate.
Or do you do transcendental meditation?
I have studied that, but that isn't my meditation of choice. I do a lot of guided meditation, but I do the Jiva Mukti, a lot of mantra meditation. So Jiva Mukti have a certain amount of different meditations that they recommend, but different ones.
Where can I learn that quickly? Like for the rest
of the wrong way of going. Where can it tell me? How can I meditate?
This is a good one. If you just inhale sat, exhale nam into your head, just inhale sat, exhale nam. Or in Jiva Mukti, you say let go. Or in your mind, so you're just letting go of everything. So you just, because we're all so tied to everything. And I'm just saying come to my class.
Transcendental meditation. TM. That is something that you pay for, isn't it? And you're given a magic chant
And you're not allowed to tell anybody else what that is at your mantra.
Oh, yours could just be shut up. Shut up.
Which do you find more stressful, darling, performing or directing?
Performing. I mean, directing's stressful because it can sometimes, I mean, this twiggy documentary took 3 years from start to finish. I never thought it was ever going to finish it. And there can be days when it's good and then you don't know. There's always problems when you're doing a film, and it's how you get through those problems, if because you think the film's going to fall apart or it's going to, you know, something's going to happen to it. There's just always the sense of dread. Directing and producing is like raising a small child. You have to invest in it for a good 3-4 years. But acting, you can just do 3-4 days here and create an amazing character. But it's nerve-wracking. I think once you're behind the camera, it's hard to get back in front of it and
be
on.
So has that changed your?
Yeah, but I am acting. The last few years, I've been doing some cameos and bits and pieces, a couple of films and a little TV series and stuff. And then I'm now, this year, I've been offered a couple of films. So that's exciting to go and turn up and just do cameos and characters on films and interesting characters. Because
can
when
I play your best friend?
You can play my best friend. I'm gonna ask the director.
So needy.
But the weird thing is about if you've been acting such a long time, when I was a kid, I was obviously acting, you know, playing the child. Then it was the teenager. Then it was the young femme fatale. Then it was the young mum. Then it was the old mum. And now I'm playing the granny or the witch. You know, and it's just like, when I get the script and it's like...
I know.
You know, I'm just like, oh my God, and you've got these scripts since you were a kid and they've gone all the way through playing all these glamorous ones and her breasts were succulent and her this and her that. Now I'm like, the old bag was walking along the town centre.
So
and
sexist.
I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, that is really hard, I think, because I found I never played the sexy young thing with an acting thing. So I've never lost that. That's the one good thing about getting older.
Yeah, you could just play the same. But when you've had it like we've been, the femme fatale, you know, back in the day, then now you're not the femme fatale, you're the old bag.
Yeah.
It's a bit
although
of a loss.
Although I have I to say, make... from very early on, I was playing witches, even in my heyday.
Yes.
Or evil. Always evil.
I played about four characters called Tubbs.
Clearly adorable.
Tubbs and Chubbs.
It's terrible in film and television. And also I've noticed that I've watched a lot of things where I've gone, oh my God, the mother looks younger than the children.
Mm.
Or the grandmother looks the same age as the...
Imagine when you start playing the dead people. I'll start playing the dead body soon. And then that's going to be even more scary.
I know.
Well, I'm getting those scripts.
I've
got that to look forward to.
I'm aspiring to that, to those roles. So that's fantastic that you're doing more
just little
acting.
Bit, you know, breath of fresh air kind of to turn. And it's also good when you're a filmmaker, actor, producing, to turn up on someone else's film set and see what's going on.
But don't you think that outsikes the director a bit, going, oh, she's directed as well, she might be. And you can sort of do little, give them little looks and sort of,
yeah,
you know, just watch and maybe touch.
I had a part in this TV series last year called Geek Girl, and I played a director, and the director cast me to play the director.
Mm.
And, you know, I had to kind of, I really was playing kind of myself, directing on Twiggy, and I turned up in a baseball hat, and I was quite kind of like, butch, and I kept going, cut, action! And yeah, me and the director were definitely having a bit of a competition.
God,
but I think I played the director really well. did it. Like,
you've got children in showbiz. Do you watch what they're going through now and think it's harder now than it was?
100 times harder. Yeah. I mean, a lot harder, because when in the 90s, and it's been something I've been talking about with some documentaries and stuff that I'm talking about, is that there was a very kind of small British independent film industry. Mm. And when you went up for a part, there would be competition, but it might be one of 10, 20 people. Whereas now when a young person is going up for a part, there might be thousands and thousands up for that one part. It is so much more competitive. And before you would maybe have the casting director. I mean, I guess it's better because it's more inclusive, but then it would be the casting director would have their 10, 20, 30 favourite actors, and then there'd be people chosen from Spotlight. You'd go up and certain actors would go up more than others. And the competition wasn't that high. Whereas once people start being put on tape and Zoom and not having castings, so the competition is higher because you can cast people all over the world. And it's really difficult.
The self-taping.
Self-taping.
Self-harm.
That's
what I call it, equals self-harm.
But there's so much campaigning about that, isn't it? Because also you can't take feedback from the director and have, try it this way, try it that
no
way.
There's no energy
and
in
you
the
can't
room,
use your natural charm. Again, that's something you might not experience.
Seriously, I think you are made for the era of self-taping. If you can just have someone say the lines, Ronnie, and don't say anything else.
So I get a bit upset the way that everybody after COVID went back to see doctors, dentists, everybody went back to having face-to-face appointments.
Yes.
Apart from producers, directors and casting directors, that was okay for them to go on with the whole self-tape
malarkey. How are you going to even know if they watch the tapes?
No, they don't.
No.
Anyway, look, we joke about being unpopular, but actually, Hal and I, we've got a little bit of a following going on, haven't we?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we have.
You're talking about our new item.
Yeah, we've had to bring in a new bit of the podcast called Fan Corner because we've been quite inundated.
Yeah.
And we've got lots of letters here. There's a letter. Would you, because you're a special guest, would you mind reading out this?
What's the top bit here?
Yeah, well, the letter. What does
okay,
it say?
Okay, so it says, love the show. Wait, hang on a sec.
Yeah.
I'm a bit dyslexic.
Oh, this is exciting.
Love the show, Hal.
Yeah.
More of you, less of Ronnie, please.
What?
That is a great fan.
Who's that from?
This is from Christian from South London.
Wait a minute. Isn't your agent called Christian?
Yeah, there's going to be loads of Christians in South London, Ronnie. There's not going to be, you know.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Interesting. P.S. Taskmaster said no again.
Moving on. No, seriously.
Just outrageous.
We'll still just keep Fan Corner, I think. I think it's
yes, well,
item. Yeah. But what I was going to ask Sadie was, because we've had all these stories from Ronnie of humiliations and disasters, and because you seem like a very zen person, I think it's really impressive that you did yoga since you're being a child, because so many people would go, oh yeah, they took up yoga when they became rich and famous and became, you know, but actually you've always been doing it. But have you had disasters? Can you think of a more humiliating story than Ronnie has? Because I don't think there are any.
Do you know any? Have I ever told you any? I can't remember.
No, I don't think, because I don't even think your humiliating stories are that humiliating, you see.
They're not on the Ronnie scale.
They're not a YACD, yet another crushing
disappointment. Yeah, I think I'm just feeling too positive today. Like, if you'd asked me yesterday, I was on a negative day, I would be thinking of all the bad things that happened to me, but I've just been thinking good things today, so.
When you said you have good and bad days still, so even though you're someone who has been doing yoga for so long, you can't easily swim through life. You see what I mean? There's imagination that you can reach a level where you just kind of...
You have to go up and down. You can't just be... I mean, of course, you're trying to be content and consistent, but it's very hard to maintain that all the time. But of course, you have negative days, and that's what life's about. You have to work at those days.
But that is a good point, because I think people always say that we live sort of thinking we have this right to be happy and for everything to be fine. And actually, life... I quite like that idea of life's meant to be a struggle.
Yeah.
You're meant to be finding it quite hard.
Even when in that case, I'm really succeeding.
I think you're living a really full life, Ronnie, full of struggles with a very few upbeat moments.
And they do say that in yoga, by the way, that life isn't supposed to be easy and life is a struggle. And that's how you learn. They call it tapas, to burn. You want to kind of get rid of stuff.
Do you do meditation every day?
Nearly every day, yeah. I'd say 99% of the time. Every day, yeah.
Have your kids adopted it?
Yeah.
Have
two
they?
Of them... regularly. Yeah, definitely planted the seeds for my kids to, yeah, they all do. They all pretty much do. They're all quite zen.
Is that hard for them being children of famous people, or do you think that's just something because you're very grounded?
I think they're all quite well adjusted, and they're very, yeah, they're more grounded than me. And my youngest son, Rudy, he's just finishing university, and he's kind of one of those people that is just the fairest people. If I say something that he just doesn't agree with, he just says it how it is. And it's really nice to be not told off, but advised by your kids. And then they just put you right. Because, you know, being just like an actor and slightly dramatic, you can kind of, but he'll be, you know, he's just a very good kind of, you know, judge on everything. But no, my kids are really down to earth. That's just something great. I love the fact that we're quite a tight family and they're quite easygoing.
Mm. There's a surprising honesty, I think, the younger generation have. Mm. My kids tell me things that I would... I mean, I've even said, I can't believe you've told me that. They tell me about drug experiences. You know, I'm sort of amazed in a way that with my parents, I would never have shared. I think it's a very sharing generation. Mm. Maybe it's because they're not that different to the way we were when we were young. Mm. They are quite similarly...
But they've been taught to be open and to discuss things and to share things. We maybe weren't. And there was a real divide between adults and kids and...
Yeah, there was. That's the big difference. That's the big difference. We've got some quick-fire questions for you now.
Oh, quick-fire questions.
You can't think about these. Just off the top of your head, it's better this way. How? Go on.
Do you like us?
Yes.
That's an unusual one.
Very endearing and, yes, very.
Who do you like more?
Oh, no. Ronnie, can I say him?
Yes.
Yes. Him.
That's completely understandable.
You haven't gone up the top Ronnie, of the bloody mountain.
Ronnie,
with she's gentle diffusion over time.
She was so nice that she asked that, because of course it's going to be me, because she spent more time with you. And anybody who spent time with you, it's a struggle. You've done movies, Quant and Twiggy.
Mm-hmm.
Do Do you think there could one day be an Ancona?
Yeah, should we pitch that?
A sort of short student film, 15 minutes.
Experimental. I like experimental.
Yeah, an experimental. I think it would have to have its own genre.
Yeah.
It would be very much a niche piece. Yeah. I don't think my husband would watch
that. I think
it
would be a short thing. It wouldn't be interesting enough. But there's so many disasters in your life. It could be like an epic. It could be Ancona 1, Ancona 2, Ancona 3, of literally ending up being like 9-10 hours of embarrassing stories from Ronnie. Honestly, I would watch that.
Thank you.
I really would. I'd be the only person in the cinema going, this is... Why? Why is there no one in it again? Do you have a best decade of your life? Do you have a decade that you go, I had a better decade than...
I think the 90s was the best. Because I had all my... Well, some of my kids in that time. And, you know, life was great in the 90s. It was before the internet and mobile phones. You know, and so I know everyone says that, but it was fun. It was really good fun.
Which, for real, no, well, we know the answer to this. This is a previously written question you've already answered, which was basically for relaxation, jigsaws or yoga. But one final time, is it not a little bit relaxing, jigsaws? Is it not a little? Could this not be a sort of meditation to be doing a jigsaw?
Yeah, if you're not actually, I mean, I get really frustrated when I'm seriously doing it and I can't get one in, you know, that, and this is really little, but I have got friends that like doing it, but it's not for me, but. I like sitting here with them in front.
I think what we needed to do was separate them into different colour piles. Yeah. Even the basic fundamentals
Just give people a bit of a hand.
Anyway, Sadie, you've been amazing.
Brilliant.
I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
And it's so fat and she prefers me.
She's a very polite woman, always has been. Thank you so much. Thank you. We're so honoured to have you here. Oh, and you're doing more directing, which is really exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, got a few projects to get on with, but having a little rest at the moment.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Namaste. Yay. Oh, that was amazing that Sadie read out our fan mail.
Exactly.
Well, your agent for the week. That was
still counts.
Wasn't
still
it?
Counts as proper as somebody writing into the show. She was just so wonderful. I do feel calmer just listening to that. She was just brilliant and not some sort of poser. Do you know what I mean? She's just absolutely lives it. Been doing yoga since she was a kid. And
yeah, look and learn, Hal. That's a really good thing. Talking of fan corner, we do actually have another letter this week.
Brilliant.
Yeah, let me see. This is Eric from Portishead. And he says, do you have any pictures of your feet that you would care to share?
That is so disgusting. Those are perverted men that get off on seeing women's feet. It's ridiculous.
It's actually for you, this one, Hal.
Oh, that's quite lovely. Thanks, Eric. Anyway, so, Ronnie, what are you up to this week?
Well, Hal, I think I might go to one of Sadie's yoga classes on Tuesday, I think.
Yeah. I'm free Tuesday. I think I'm going to go there.
Oh, no, I meant Thursday. It's Thursday. It's on. Definitely.